The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Pekudei. Ele Pekudei HaMishkan Mishkan Oedus Asher Pukar Al Pi Misha. These are all of the calculations of the Mishkan, of the sanctuary of the testimony, which were counted through Moshe, Avedis HaLevim, B'Yarisomer Ben Aaron HaKohen. The works of the Levim under the control of Yisomer Ben Aaron HaKohen. In this parsha, the Torah summarizes all of the materials that were needed for the Mishkan, the sanctuary, or the vessels of the Mishkan, or for the Kahani. Rashi tells us, Nimnu kol mishkalei nidvas ha-mishkan lekesev lezov ha-nacheshes. The gold, the silver, the copper. In the beginning of Parshas Truma, where Klal Yisrael were first asked that they should bring materials for the Mishkan, so Rashi brings Yud Gimel Dvorim ha-amurim be-idyen kulam hutzrachol ha-belechas ha-mishkan ha-ele bigdei ha-kuna. There were 13 various materials asked, needed for the Mishkan and for the begodim, the garments of the Kohen Gadol. As we learned through for the last several weeks, the parshas of the Mishkan, there's something that stands out. And we see a tremendous demand on the exactness of beauty. How everything was supposed to be made in perfection and with a very high level of physical beauty. Now, one might well understand that everything that pertained to the Mishkan encompassed many, many great sodos, many great secrets. Like the Medrash tells us, and everything stood for a great principle. In fact, as the Chazal tell us, that the Mishkan was really connected the Malachas Shamayim Va'oretz, the works of the creation of the heavens and the earth. And it was like a small world in itself. This represented the stars, and this represented the heavens, and so on. But at the same time, we see that there was a great demand and a great seeking of perfection of physical beauty. Not only of a spiritual beauty, a spiritual perfection, but a physical beauty. We see from the materials chosen, and we see from the colors chosen, and we see from the exactness in which it was all constructed. For example, of the 13 materials that were chosen, states Zohar, gold. We mentioned not long ago from the Medrash that gold is such a precious material, lohoyo ha'olam kedai lezeh, that the world was really not worthy for the gift of gold, because of its beauty. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to the world in order that the Mishkan should be built of it. And we see silver was used and copper. When it came to the materials of wool, there was tchelis. This was a wool which was dyed a color by the chalozen, a special creature, which the Gemara tells us was blue as the sea. The argoman was purple. Salash shoni, this was a wool which was dyed a scarlet red. And it was a particular type of scarlet red that was taken. Either it was from an insect, there seems to be a question, either from a certain type of insect, a worm, or from a seed. Sheish linens, izim goat's hair. There were the oris elim adomim. These were skins of a ram which were dyed red. Eirish tachoshim, the skins of the tachash. The tachash we spoke about in a shir just this past Shabbos. The tachash was a special chaya, a special animal, a creature, which was nivra leshor, which was created only for the purpose of the Mishkan. Ve'achar kach nignas, and afterwards it was concealed away from the world. And it had a coat of many, many colors. Bright and beautiful colors. And therefore it was called Sasgavno, Sasguna, Shesos Bigavonim Shaloi. because it rejoiced over its many, many colors. Atzei Shitim. Atzei Shitim was a type of cedar wood that the Medrash tells us also. Lohoyo Kedai Ha'elam L'Shitim. That really this was a material which was too beautiful and too perfect for this world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought it in this world in order for the Mishkan to be built from it. Avnei Shehem V'Avnei Meluim La'efet V'Lacheshem. The many, many precious stones for the gown of the Kohen Gadol and for the breastplate. The breastplate itself had 12 very, very precious stones. And not only the materials used, but also the way it was made. Many times, as we mentioned in the shir a few weeks ago, the materials were combined together, 6 materials, in order to weave the garments of the Kohen Gadol. Well, actually, it was 5. From all of this, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not only interested in creating a spiritual edifice, but also a physical edifice. And not only was he interested in creating something with a spiritual perfection, but also a physical perfection. And not only something which will have spiritual beauty, but also physical beauty, worldly beauty. Another place that we see this from is in Parshas Truma. Chof Vov Yud Gimel V'amo Mizeh V'amo Mizeh Be'edev Be'edech Yiriyo Sa'ehel Yaseruach Al Tzidi Yamishkan Mizeh U'Mizeh L'Chaseisei. There was an extra Amo on this side and an extra Amo on this side, and that should be used to cover the remaining amos, the remaining space of the Mishkan. Now here it's speaking that after the structure of the Mishkan was built with the Atzei Shitim, the wood, then there was a cover which was spread over the entire Mishkan as a roof, and it also covered the sides of the Mishkan. And the first cover was made of the Tcheles, Argomon, in Salash Shoni, of the various dyed wools. Then the Torah commanded that we build a second cover. The second cover, the Torah tells us, is Osishi Yerias Izim Le'el Ala Mishkon, was a cover not of wool, but a cover of goat's hair. And that was slightly larger than the first cover. And Rashi tells us, Yesoruach al tzidi amishkon shehein eitfis al erech yedias amishkon shtei amas. This second cover had an extra 2 amas over the first cover, and therefore yesoruach al tzidi amishkon etzofen eledorim. It should be spread over the first cover and overlap the first cover on the north side and on the south side by 1 amma. And then Rashi brings Limda Tere Derech Eretz. The Torah here teaches us Derech Eretz. It teaches us something that we should know, not only when it comes to the building of the Mishkan, that we should know for our lives. She'odim chasala yofa. That a person should take care to be sensitive to beauty. I'm not exactly sure if it means that since everything was made so exactly here, therefore a person should see from here that he should enhance himself with a sensitivity to beauty, or if it means that he should protect that what is beautiful, because we see the outer cover protected completely the inner cover of the Mishkan, completely covered it. And the inner cover of the Mishkan was much more beautiful. I haven't been able to find the source of this Medrash. It's somewhere in the Yalkut, and I haven't been able to find it yet to see exactly what it means. But either way we learn. Limdetere derech eretz. Here the Torah teaches us something for our life. That one must enhance his life with beauty. And we're speaking here not of a spiritual beauty, but of a physical beauty. We see this further. As we know, that the Mishkan was during the time of the desert, and when they first came into Eretz Yisrael. But in later years, the Beis HaMikdash was built, the permanent temple, in Yerushalayim. The Gemara brings in Masechta Baba Basra, and Av Gimel, Sefer Amar Aleph and Amar Beis, the Gemara brings a pasuk from Chagi Beis, Godl Yekover Habayis Hazeho Achri Min Arishen. The splendor of the second Beis HaMikdash will be even greater than the first Beis HaMikdash. Rav Ushmul V'yamil Yilor Rabbi Yechonam Rablezer. What does that mean? This is a discussion between Rav and Shmuel, or Rabbi Yechonon and Ablezer. Chad Omar Bebinyan V'chad Omar Bishonim. One said that the building, the physical edifice of the second Beis HaMikdash, its splendor will be greater than the physical edifice of the first Beis HaMikdash. And one says that the lasting years of the second Beis HaMikdash will be greater than the first. V'isaloh v'isaloh. And the Gemara says both are true. The splendor of the second one was greater than the first. Why? Because the first Beis HaMikdash was built to 120 amas. And the second Beis HaMikdash was 130 amas. Now 120 amas is very high, or 130 amas. This would be about 250 feet high. So the first Beis HaMikdash was 120 amas, 30 amas, an additional 90 amas, and the second Beis HaMikdash was 40 amas, an additional 90 amas, 130 amas. This means the edifice was well over 200 feet high. And in years also, the Gemara says, the first Beis HaMikdash lasted 410 years, and the second Beis HaMikdash lasted 420 years. Then the Gemara tells us further on Daf Dalet. Hudus, who was a Melech Rosho, a very wicked king. He wanted to do tshuva, he wanted to repent. And he had killed many Chachomim, many of the sages. So he came to the Chachomim, this was during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. He wanted to repent, and he said, Hashto maita kante dahu gavra, and avdalet. What can I do to make up for what I did? Or Malay, so they said to him, Hu kover eri shalaylam. You extinguish the light of the world by killing the sages, so go and occupy yourself with the building of the light of the world. And this is the Beis HaMikdash. So he went ahead and started to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. It was standing, but it was very run down. The Gemara tells us, Amri, mi shelayro binyan hudis, layro binyan noam yomav. So the sages praised what he did. And they said that someone who never saw the Beis HaMikdash, which was refurbished, which was someone who never saw the Beis Hamikdash, which was refurbished by Hodis, never saw Binyan Noam Yomav, never saw a beautiful building in his life. In other words, the beauty of this far surpassed any other beautiful edifice. Now we must realize the gravity of that statement, because Hodis lived during the time of the last era of the Hashmonaim. The Hashmonaim originally were during the time of the Greeks. The Greeks were the masters of beauty. When it came to building, when it came to architecture, when it came to the wisdom of beauty, history records, and more important, our sages tell us that there was no one that surpassed the Greeks. So the sages were well aware of what beauty was. Secondly, at this time when Hurdus rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, it was during the time of the Roman occupation, which was already after the Greek Empire was brought to its knees, and Rome was the empire of the world. When it came to indulge in physical luxuries, our sages tell us that Rome was the master of this. Rome was the master of this. When it came to great buildings and great bathhouses, great structures. So the sages lived through eras of Greek and Roman beauty and architecture. And still they praised Hodis by saying, someone who didn't see what Hodis did can never say that he saw a beautiful building. And the Gemara gives us one example. B'mai banye, Omar Abba, what did he build it with? B'avni shisha u'mirmamor. He built it with marble, which was white and green. Green marble and white marble. Ika di'amri b'avni kuchla shisha u'mirmamor. Others say it was a green marble, a white marble, and a powder blue marble. Apek safa ve'ayel safa, ki heched in a kabel sida. When they put in the great stones, the great marble stones, so in order to hold them together with mortar, they let the edges of the stones fall slightly away from each other, in order that there they could cement them together. When Hurdus saw this, he said this wasn't perfect. So he wanted to overlay it with gold in order to make it completely smooth. The Rabbonin said, Shafke. The Rabbonin said, no, leave it like this. This is more beautiful. The mechse ki advosa di yoma, because it looks like the waves of the sea. So Rashi tells us, gali ayam sheim noim venodim, v'ayin mishtasheh briyosim. When one looks at the sea and he sees the movement of the sea, this is how the marble looked. You had the blue marble and the green marble and the white marble, and it did not come together exactly even. When one would look at it, it would look at this as if it was moving. It was moving back and forth like the waves of the sea. So the sages told him, leave it, because this is more beautiful. So here we see that it wasn't only Hurdus that was interested in the beauty, but the sages also. They said, do not cover it with gold. This is more beautiful. Leave it the way it is. So here we have another example. The Rambam in Hilchis Beis HaBechira Perak Aleph Halacha Yud. When the Rambam tells us that it's a mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash, he brings a Maratzpin Kola Azore Ba'avn Avonim Yekoris. When we build the floor of the courtyard, we cover it completely with precious stones. U'mitzvah min amufka lechazek es abinyan u'lagbiyah kifikeach hasibur. And it's mitzvah min amufka, this means that it's the best possible way to fulfill this mitzvah, to make it as beautiful and as strong as possible, in accordance to the keach hatzibur, in accordance to the ability of the community. Shneamar ulereimim es beis elokeinu, as it states that I will uplift the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umafari neisoi, we give it splendor. Umeyafin, and we must give it beauty. Kifi keichon, in accordance to the ability of the community. Im yecholin latuach eisoi bezov ulahagdil b'maisov harezu mitzvah. If you can overlay the entire Beis HaMikdash with gold and make it even more lavish and beautiful, harezu mitzvah, then this is a mitzvah. So there's no doubt. We're left with no doubt that the mitzvah of the building of the Beis HaMikdash was not only that of a spiritual beauty, but also of a physical beauty and a physical exactness. Now one can give thought to this. We understand why we must strive for spiritual perfection. But it would seem to strive for a physical perfection, this would be something contrary to the nature of the Jew, something contrary to the nature of the Torah. Because one would think, philosophically, and many have thought like this, and many do think like this, that when it comes to physical beauty and physical perfection, this does not have a source in Torah. This belongs to the Greeks. This is the Chochmas Yevonis, the wisdom of the Greek Empire. Or belongs to the Romans, but doesn't belong to Israel. Odom tchilose ofer v'seife ofer. Man comes from the dust and he returns to the dust. So how can we place any importance on anything that comes from the earth? When we're speaking of the spirit, we're speaking of the soul. That the soul is for eternity, and it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alright, then we understand Shleimus HaNefesh. A person must perfect himself spiritually. But when it comes to physical perfection, physical beauty, this is something which is from the earth, and in the end it will be entirely dust. So why should we seek, why should we pursue this? To the contrary, this is something that many people believe, something we should be marachik, we should reject. We should further it from ourselves as much as possible. Only use what is absolutely necessary. But more than that, not. And it has no place in Avedis Hashem, no place in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Evidently, from here we see this is not true. The perfection of the physical aspect of man also plays a role in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avedis Hashem. And it does have Mekeres HaTeheres, it does have sources in Torah. And this was not all left merely for the Greeks and the Romans. From these sources that we're learning right here now, with the building of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. And we'll try to understand this a little better this evening. In many of the sources, which I'll be quoting this evening, is from a shir which was given by my Rebbe, who tells the Rosh Yeshiva Ramot Chai Gifter, which he called Feres HaMaisa, the beauty of one's deeds. And it's in the Sefer Shiridas from Tells. If we give thought as to is this proper or not, such a direction, the truth is that right from the subject itself, can we understand that this is a proper direction? Because there is no doubt that the master of all beauty and physical perfection is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty. If one looks at the creation, there, besides wisdom, which has no limitation, and besides practical application and utilization, which has no limitation, at the same time, we see physical beauty, which has no limitation. Es haShamayim ve'es haOretz ve'es haYom, the heavens and the earth and the sea, ve'es kol asher bo, and everything that's in it. Everything that was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, besides being perfect from a functional point of view, and besides being perfect from a wisdom point of view, is synonymous also with beauty. There was nothing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that was not of a perfect physical beauty and a perfect physical colors. And this is something that we don't have time to elaborate on this evening. But it's a Dovr Shein Keitz. It's endless. If one looks at the skies and the heavens, if one looks at the sea, or if he looks at the earth, or if he looks at the animals or the creatures which are in the sea or in the on the land, or if he looks at what grows, the trees or the flowers or the fruits, or if he looks at man, he'll see that the hallmark of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's handiwork is Marobu Ma'asecha Hashem. How great and beautiful are your works. It would have been sufficient to make the world functional. But at the same time, we see that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, the greatest artists and the greatest seekers of beauty perhaps try to emulate one small aspect of the master of the world. And if man would live thousands upon thousands of years, he wouldn't be able to count the smallest aspect of the handicraft of the Almighty. So we see that this was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's trait. This was his paintbrush. And the Gemara tells us a klal, Uledof kubay, achrei Hashem elokechem teilechu, that you should cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's qualities, to his characteristics. Mahu chanun, afato chanun, mahu rachum, afato rachum. That just like he is good, you must be good. He is merciful, you must be merciful. This is the Gemara in end of the first perek in Masechet Satan, the Gemara in Shabbos in Kuf Lamed Gimel. So if so, then from here alone, if the greatest master of beauty, the greatest master of the world, was the master of beauty and exact with an exactness and a perfection, then this itself proves to us that we must also emulate such a quality, that such a quality is something not to be rejected from one's life, but to be brought into one's life. Really, we find that this level comes from the highest levels of Klal Yisrael. In the Torah and Parshas Bishalach, when Klal Yisrael went out of Egypt and they were taken through the Red Sea, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the sea for them, and they went through on dry land, and then he brought the waters back and he destroyed all of the Egyptians, so Klal Yisrael came to one of the highest levels that they ever did. And Moshe and the Bnei Yisrael sang the Shira. So it states in that Shira, this is in Bishalach, Shmeis Tesvov, Posuk Aleph, Posuk Beis, Ze Keli Va'anvehu, Elekei Hovi Va'arabamenhu. This is my God, V'anvehu. What does it mean, Ze Keli, this is my God? And what does it mean, V'anvehu? The word anvehu. The word anvehu is not such an easy word to interpret. The Gemara and the Chazal bring four droshes, four explanations of what the word V'anvehu is. Firstly, Rashi brings from Unkelis, Targum Unkelis. The word anvehu is from the word noveh, shanon, which means a home. The anvehu, I will make a home for him. Now, ze keli, what does it mean, this is my God? So Rashi tells us, b'chfeidin nigla aleihem. The Zeh is very important here, very significant. Because we don't find other places in the Torah where we said, Zeh Keli, this is my God. Zeh means that they pointed with a finger and they said, this is my God. Zeh means that they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to the Klal Yisrael and the sea in his great honor and glory. And they saw him and they pointed and they said, Ze Keli, this is my God. What does it mean they saw him? Roso Shifchal Alayam Mashleiro Anavim, Rashi says. That the simple handmaid here saw more than the greatest prophets. The Chazal use another lotion, Mashalaro Yecheskel ben Buzi. Yecheskel ben Buzi had the greatest prophecy. He saw the chariot of the Almighty. They saw more. Roso Mashalaro Anavim. They saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How? Through a greater prophecy than the greatest prophets came to. This is how great this revelation was. They saw so clearly that they could point their finger, and say, Zeh, this is my God. And V'anvehu. Now the question is, what does it mean, V'anvehu? So Unkelis says, I will build a home for him. I will build a Beis HaMikdash for him. Rashi brings the second shot. Anvehu is loshen noy, asapin noyav v'shivcha levaya elam. Beauty. I will tell the world of his beauty. Kigain ma'deitcha mideid deidi yisach ve'edei mechola inyan. Like Shlema HaMelech did. Shlema HaMelech told the world of the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not speaking here of the gedula, of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not speaking here of the gevura, of the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because it states v'anvehu, and according to the second interpretation, anvehu means noya, beauty. Not that we will tell the world of his greatness, or we will tell the world of his strength, we will tell the world of his beauty. Where do we find that we speak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beauty? Shlema HaMelech did. Shlema HaMelech wrote the Shir HaShirim, and that's a parable between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there he keeps referring to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Almighty, how beautiful you are. The texture of your skin, how beloved you are. Now, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, cannot be described in a physical sense, but there we are saper, he spoke of the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the second pshat. A third interpretation of the word anvehu is brought in Gemara Masechet Shabbos. The Gemara brings and Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. Kuf Lamed Gimel Amed Beis. Ze keli v'anvehu desanyo hisnoi lefona b'mitzvus. Also it means the word beauty, anvehu. So what does it mean, I shall beautify HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do you beautify HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You beautify his mitzvahs. Asi lefon of sukkah noya, if you're going to make a sukkah, make a beautiful sukkah. Lulav noya, if you're going to buy a lulav, it should be a beautiful one. Shofar noya, if you're going to buy a shofar, it should be a beautiful one. Tzitzis noya, tzitzis, they must be beautiful. Sefer Torah, you're going to make a Sefer Torah, noya, must be beautiful. The ink should be beautiful. The pen should be beautiful. The scribe should be someone who can write beautifully. One might think, a lulav, what's the difference? It's a lulav. Tzitzis, what's the difference? As long as it's kosher. Tzitzis. A sukkah, as long as it's kosher. You get a few boards, a few branches, you have a sukkah. You mekayim the din, you fulfill the din. A sefer Torah, as long as it's written kedin. No, Moses says no. Not true. Zekeli, this is my God, be anvehu, and I shall beautify him. How shall you beautify him? The lulav must be beautiful. You must beautify his mitzvahs. The sukkah must be beautiful. The Sefer Torah, it's not the same. Sefer Torah, or the Parshas of Tefillin, if you have a Sefer that has a careless writing, or you have a Sefer that's an artist, that has a beautiful writing. But what's the difference? If it's artistic, if it's not artistic? No. It must be with the best ink, and the best pen, and the best scribe. B'korchei b'shiroinoi. And the mantle of the Sefer Torah must be beautiful. That's the third pshat. Anvehu means beauty. How? You must beautify his mitzvahs. Then we have a fourth drosha. And this is what we mentioned before, Abishol Eimer. Abishol says, V'anvehu, anvehu means heavy day melei. From the word day melei, I will make myself like him. Mahu chanun derachum, afato hei chanun derachum. If he is good and compassionate, you also shall be good and compassionate. So what do we have here? We have here a world of wisdom. When they were on the sea and they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they said, Ze Keli, this is my God, they said, Anvehu. Anvehu leads to four interpretations. Either it means a house from the word Nove, Shannon, I will build a home for him. Or it means Noya, beauty, I will praise his beauty to the world, like Shlema HaMelech did. Or it means I will beautify him. How do you beautify HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You beautify his physical mitzvahs. Or it means, Hevidei Melei, I will emulate him. What he is, I will be. These are the four interpretations. Now firstly, There's two great principles we learn from here. One is that it's a mitzvah to speak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beauty. That's what Rashi brings. He says, Loshen Naya, you cannot say it means to speak, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu's strength. Because then why would it say Anvehu, which means beauty? It would say Givuraisov, his strength, or his wisdom, or his greatness. It says beauty. So Rashi says, where do we see that someone spoke of his beauty? He brings from Shir HaShirim, where Shlema HaMelech not only praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness, but also his beauty. That's one great principle. A person must try also to understand the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A second great principle is we see that a mitzvah must be beautiful. It's not sufficient for a mitzvah to be kosher. But a mitzvah also must be beautiful. This is what the Gemara is telling us. Where do we learn this from? Anvehu, I shall beautify him. How can you beautify a Kodesh Baruch Hu? By beautifying his mitzvahs. If someone fulfills mitzvahs, but they're not beautiful, it's a lulav, but it's not a nice lulav. It's a sukkah, but not a nice sukkah. It's a sefer Torah, but it's not written so nicely. It's tzitzis, but old tzitzis. So mitzvahs he's fulfilling. But he's not fulfilling the anvehu to beautify HaKadosh Baruch Hu with those mitzvahs. These are the two great principles that we learn from here in regards to our discussion. But now we go one step further. What does this have to do with what took place al Hayam? Why all of a sudden, in the middle of the sea, when they're singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, along comes Klal Yisrael and starts talking the Anbehu? And what does this have to do with the Zekeli? And what are the relationships between these four droshes? The answer is at this point, Klal Yisrael came to a higher level than they ever were before. As Rashi tells us, Bichfeidei Nigla Atzman, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself in his great honor to the point where they could say Zeh Keli, they could point with the finger and say, this is my God. Now this was the Tachlis HaDveikus. This was the ultimate in coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person comes close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to such a level, then he wants to be part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't want to lose him. Doesn't want to be divided from him. How do you do this? Now man cannot escape this world. So he wants to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. Cannot escape this world to go into the next world. So he wants to bring Hashem into this world. So that's what it means. V'anvehu novei shanon, I will build a home for him. And this was the whole goal of the Beis HaMikdash, that I will build a dira l'shchina b'tachtein. I will build a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. I want to bring him into this world. Zeh Keli, this is my God. Ve'anvehu, I want to bring him into this world. Now, for the same reason, when someone comes close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there they see his beauty. He's the source of all beauty. The greatest artist, the greatest architect, the greatest creator tries to emulate 1/1,000,000th of a degree of the majesty of the creation. He's the source of all beauty. And when they came close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they saw him, they saw this beauty. So therefore, v'anvehu, we will speak of his beauty to the world.
or therefore beautify him. You saw his greatness, we want to become part of this beauty. But how can you? This beauty must come into his mitzvahs. Not sufficient it should be a lulav. Must be a beautiful lulav. Must be a beautiful talis. Or have day melei. I want to make myself like him. In other words, at this point, when they saw the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's when they wanted to be part of it. So therefore they wanted to bring the majesty into this world. They wanted to praise this majesty. They wanted to bring it into his mitzvahs or emulate it. This is the relationship between all of these drushas. And from here we learn, in regards to what we're speaking of, that to have a sensitivity for the beauty and the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for the beauty and the majesty of his world, this comes from the highest level, then this is a sign that he's very far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what we see from here. Because it was only when they came to the level of Zekeli, this is my God, that they could point and see him, then they started to talk about the majesty and beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of its facets. This is what we learn from here. And therefore it's very relevant why we see that so much of this beauty was commanded in regards to the Beis HaMikdash. Because the Beis HaMikdash was the point where we came to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person came and he was seen, and he came to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu there. This was the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Almighty, in this world. This is one great source. The Rambam brings another point, that not only should a person appreciate the physical beauty, in other words, this is something which is not to be considered outside of the scope of Torah and Avodah. Not only should a person appreciate the physical beauty, but the greatest beauty he should utilize for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He brings at the end of Hilchos Yisurim Mizbeach, Perek Zayin, brings from the Gemara where there were Tisha Minin B'Shemen, when it came to the oil which we were commanded on in the Beis HaMikdash, there were 9 different types of oil. All of olive oil, but 9 different degrees of it. Kulin Sherin L'Menachis, for the menorah, for the candlestick, they were not all kosher, only a certain types of the olive oil. For the menachis, for the meal offerings, Kulin Sherin, they were all kosher. U'me'achis Shekulin Sherin L'Menachis L'Menimnu, if they were all kosher for the meal offerings, so why did the sages count them out and divide them up into different categories, since they're all acceptable? Kedei leida yofer shein lemala mimena v'ashove v'apoches, in order that a person should know what is the best and what is the next to the best, and what is less and what is the last degree. Why is it necessary? Shareitze lezakeis atzmoi, because if a person wants to perfect himself, Yokev Yitzra Hara, V'yarchiv Yodei V'yovi Korboni Min HaYofa, if a person wants to perfect himself, then a person must prevail on himself, that when he comes to do mitzvahs, he comes to bring sacrifices, he must bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the best. The best possible should not be left for himself, but that should be for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaMeshubach HaYofeh HaMeshubach B'Yeseh Shebeis HaMin Shiyovi Vimenu. A person should seek the most beautiful and the highest caliber when he serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, a source for this we have right at the beginning of the Torah, the beginning of creation, when man, Hevel, the son of Adam Arishon, brought a sacrifice. It states, he brought from his sheep, from the firstborn, umichel behen, from the fattest. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted it. Then the Rambam says, this is not only something when it comes to sacrifices. Hu adin bechol dover shehu l'shem akel hatev. Beauty, physical perfection, not only does it have a scope in Torah, but it must be utilized for Torah and for the mitzvahs. In all the bar mitzvahs, a person should seek the most beautiful. Chol dover, which is for Hashem, he should seek the most beautiful. In bona based tefillah, if you build a shul, you might think, what's the difference? The fact is, many times you hear today, the youth, what do we need such beautiful shuls for? What do we need them for? What do we need great edifices for? The main thing is you daven. This is true. The main thing is you daven. But there's a halacha of a beautiful edifice also. Many say, no, we'll have get a back room somewhere, or we'll get a little shtibel and be sufficient. No. In bona based tefillah, if you build a shul, yenomi beis yeshivasi. It should be more beautiful than your own home. Not that you take the beauty of the physical world and you use it for yourself, and for HaKadosh Baruch Hu you say it's not necessary. What's the difference? As long as it's a kosher shul. If you live in a nice home, the shul must be more beautiful. Hechel Rov, if you like good food, when someone who's hungry comes to your house, Yachel min ha-tov va-mosuk shebishulchanech, give him them from the best. Don't save the best wines for yourself and don't save the best meats for yourself. The hungry you must feed, it's a mitzvah. Mitzvahs must be done with the greatest of the gashmias, with the most beautiful and the best of the physical world. Not that the physical world you save for yourself and for Hashem, you use a lesser degree. Kiso orum yechase min ayofe shebechusay. You come to clothe the poor. Don't buy the expensive suits for yourself and buy the poor the inexpensive suits. The best you should give them. Higdish dovere yagdish minayofe shemenachosov. You come to give something to a shul, or you come and you give something to stoker, or something to a beis hamedrash. Give the best. The most beautiful and the best quality. As it states, V'chein hu eimer kol chelev l'Hashem. As it states in the Torah, kol chelev l'Hashem, the fat, the fattest, this is the sign of the best of the physical world, should be given to Hashem. So not only do we see that the physical world, the perfection of the physical world, has a place in Torah, but bedafka, in particular, that's what should be used for Avedis Hashem. And we saw this. We saw this in the old country, you saw this. In Europe, you saw it. In Lithuania, you saw it. Because if you ever will find, for example, a sefer that was printed in Europe, you'll see it's printed with the best quality, with leather covers, with the best binding, the best paper, the best print. Sforim, hundreds of years old, still intact. Today you have Sforim that are not months old, that fall apart. Hundreds of years old. I've seen Sforim 350, 400 years old. A sefer today couldn't last 20 years before it's ready for the Shemus. 350, 400 years old. Because printed and made from the best materials. So you would think that they must have been very wealthy. It's true, some places they were very wealthy. Hungary was a very wealthy country. Austria was a wealthy country. Germany was a wealthy country. But many of these forim were printed in Vilna. One of the major printing presses for Sforim was Vilna. Lithuania, they didn't have what to eat. Didn't have one to eat. I must once met a Rav from Poland, from a wealthy area. He visited Lithuania. He said, in Lita, shtikl herring is given a ganze yontif. A piece of herring was a yontif in Lithuania. Silver. We have in our possession silver for the Sifrei Torah. So we're not talking about something that we're reading about in history books. We have today in our possession plenty of silver from Sifrei Torah, from Lithuania and other countries. You wonder, where did they get it? That silver today, if you'll ask a silversmith to reproduce it, he'll say, no, you can't do it. It costs too much. Can't do it today. Today, in a civilization of Jaguars and Mercedes, no, we couldn't do it. It will cost too much. Cost thousands, they would say. The handiwork. Sterling silver. It's out of reach. Yet in those places, they had it. You see the pictures of their shuls. You see a picture of the Or and HaKodesh. Or even in the old shuls in Eretz Yisrael, where it was so poor. This was called Chelev Lashem. These were people that didn't have what to eat. But when it came to making a shul, when it came to making a Sefer Torah, when it came to ornament a Sefer Torah, to make a Sefer, they were willing to give their lives on it. Silversmiths and craftsmen used to give years of work towards this. Because they understood this halacha. That the beauty of the world, this is from the brachas of Hashem. And it must be used for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For sure. So this is something that we knew of. Now this beauty that we're speaking about is not only in mitzvahs. We see in general the Torah praise beauty. Brings that the Gemara brings in Asecher Esapeli Bam Metzia Shufra de Yaakov Avinu Kishufra de Adam Arishon. The beauty of Yaakov Avinu, of Jacob, his beauty and splendor was so perfect that it resembled that of Adam Arishon, of the first man. And the image of his face was hewed out on the throne of the Almighty. Here the Torah, the Chazal are praising the beauty of man. We have many places in the Torah where the Torah praised the Imaus. Sora, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, with their beauty. Consistently tells us how beautiful Sora was, and how beautiful Rivka was, and how beautiful Rachel was. Evidently, if the Torah is praising it, it must be something to praise. The Vilna Gaon, in his Pirush on Chumash, in Parshas Vayetze, asks, why is the Torah praising the beauty of the matriarchs, the beauty of the women? When Shlema HaMelech wrote, Sheker HaChein VeHevel HaYefi. Chein, attractiveness, grace, this is deceitful. This is not true. Because there could be someone who looks attractive but not beautiful at all. So Sheker, it's deceitful. Yofi, true beauty, but it's empty. Because it's superficial. It's purely superficial. Isha yiras Hashem hiti salo. A woman that fears Hashem, she should be praised. So why does the Torah consistently praise the beauty of women? This is what the Gaon asks. And that the Gaon answers. Sheker achein vehevel hayefi. What does it mean that attractiveness is deceitful and beauty is superficial? Hainu kishahein bilti yiras Hashem. That's when they are without yiras Hashem, the fear of Hashem. Vehein kinezim zov be'af chazir. And it's like the Mishnah Novi says that if you take a beautiful gold ring and you put it into the nose of a chazir, of a pig, there can't be anything worse. You're disgracing the gold. So if you have a woman that has beauty and has attractiveness, but she does not fear Hashem, so this is to be rejected. She's disgracing the beauty. Aval isha yiras Hashem hi tishalel. Rotzi loyma digam hachein v'ayefi tishalel. But a woman that fears Hashem, she should be praised. If it has fear of Hashem in it, then she should be praised not only for her fear of Hashem, but for her beauty and her attractiveness. And therefore the Torah praises it. See, this is what he writes. Now he's saying a very sound principle. If we take beauty, physical beauty, or anything in the physical world, and we detach it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's to be rejected. Because Tchilosei Ofer V'Seifa Ofer. It was dust to begin with, and it will end up being dust. But if we link it to the creator of the world, then it lasts forever. Even if it does not last in its physical state, but it will last in its spiritual state. Because that's what man is. Man was created from dust, and he was created from the spirit of Hashem. Man in his entirety is to be praised. If we look at man merely from his physical aspect, that's something that the Torah rejects. And that was the Greek Empire. And that was the Roman Empire. They took the physical world. They detached it from the master of the physical world. And they wallowed in it. And that was the golden ring, the af chazir, in the nose of a chazir, of a pig. That would bore with this in the ashpo, in the rubbish. The world has a great height, but that's if it's elevated. If it's elevated, then not only the spiritual world has a great height, the physical world has a great height. The perfection of the physical world, the beauty of the physical world has a great height. It's from the great brochas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is his hallmark. If it's detached from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and used independently, then it's the same as gold, which also has a great height, that's being used in the rubbish. And it falls mato moto, it will fall into the lowest depths of creation. So if to praise beauty in its own right, or attractiveness in its own right, detached from the spiritual entity of Hashem, that's sheker. That's hevel. That's deceitful, that's superficial. But if there is yiras Hashem, the fear of Hashem, then he tishalo, then she is to be praised in all facets. This is from the works of Hashem. Another source that we find, we don't have time to go into too many sources this evening, but there's much to go into. But another source we find is the Gemara in Masechta Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos brings and Daf Hei Amud Beis. Reb Yechanan Cholash, no, excuse me, Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer Cholash. Reb Lezer became sick. All the Gabi Reb Yechanan. So Reb Yechanan, his Talmud, went to visit him. Chozadav Kogoni Bebe Seifel. He saw that he was sleeping in a dark house. Gal Yulidari Venothel Nahira. Reb Yechanan, the Gemara brings, also in Asecheres HaPeilim, was blessed with a great beauty. So when Reb Yechanan came into the house, his skin shined with so much vitality that it lit up the house. Reb Lezer then started to weep. So Reb Yechanan asked him, "Why, my bochiso, why are you crying? If it's because you didn't learn enough Torah in your lifetime." He says, "Echor amarbe ve'echor amamid, bilvach yichav libe l'shamayim. Everyone is only obligated to do what he can. If it's because you didn't have enough parnoso in your life, knew you had Torah, not everybody is given two tables, a table of the physical world and a table of the spiritual world." So finally he said, Reb Lezer said, he said, "I am weeping lahai shufra deboli ba'afro kobachino." He said, "I'm weeping because I see your beauty. I see your beauty. And I'm weeping because eventually it will have to go into the earth." Omalei, so Reb Yechanan said, "Aldo vare kobachiso." He says, "That's something to cry about." Ubochu trevayo. And they both wept. So he didn't say that he's weeping because of the greatness of Rabbi Yechanan or the wisdom of Rabbi Yechanan. He said because of the beauty. Because your beauty is so outstanding and eventually it'll be lost. This is why I'm weeping. And there's a Marsha that brings from the Gemara in Asecheres HaPeilim that the Gemara says that Rabbi Yechanan's beauty was the last of the beauty of Yerushalayim of the Beis HaMikdash. This beauty was linked to the Beis HaMikdash. There's one other Gemara. The Gemara brings in Masechta Avodah Zarah. And Daf Chof. Meister Bishim Gamlil. A case of Reb Shim Gamliel Shohoya Agavi Maila Bahara Bais. He was standing near the Beis HaMikdosh. Vero Avedis Kechovim Achas. He was standing near the Beis HaMikdosh and Harabais. And he saw an Avedis Kechovim Achas. He saw a Goya, a non-Jewish woman, passing by, Noah B'Yeser, with an extreme beauty. Omar, see, he made a broch. He said, Marobu Ma'asecho Hashem. How great and beautiful are the deeds of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He made a bracha. He saw this physical beauty of this woman. And he made a bracha. And then the Gemara says, Vav Rebbe Kiva. The same thing happened with Rebbe Kiva. Ro Eishes Tunus Rufes Harosha. Tunus Rufes Harosha was one of the Caesars, or the monarchs during the time of the Roman Empire. And Rabbi Kiva saw his wife. Rok sochaku bocha. She did three things when he saw his wife. He spat, he laughed from joy, and he wept. Now why he did all three things, this we don't have time to go into tonight. But the Gemara says, why did he weep? The high shufra boli afra. On such great beauty that eventually will have to be lost to the world when she dies. Now here the Tanoim, they recognized beauty, and they recognized where it came from. Now Tosfos brings, Bishalmi Ahmed Yishalmi says, Afilu Gomal Noah, Sus Noah, Chamor Noah, Emoi Boruch Shekochalei Be'elomai. Not only are we obligated to make a brocha if we see someone very beautiful, but even on an animal. See, if you see a beautiful camel, a beautiful horse, a beautiful donkey, obligated to make a brocha. Boruch Shekochalei Be'elomai, blessed is he who has brought these creatures into the world. Now what does this mean? We know plenty goyim, see, that will talk about horses. They spend their time talking about horses. This is a beautiful horse, and this is a better horse, and this is a stronger horse, and this horse will do better, will run faster. And we know plenty goyim that raise dogs, and they're preoccupied with it. So is this what the Yishalmi is telling us? There's a distinct difference. When those people that raise horses or dogs or other animals speak of the beauty, they're not making a brocha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're speaking of the beauty of the horse, the beauty of the dog, but they're not making a brocha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Did you ever hear them make a brocha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these people? So what do you see? That they take this physical beauty, they totally detach it from its creator. They're taking the physical world, detaching it from the spiritual world. Then it becomes something that should be rejected. This is the beauty of the Greeks or of the Romans. But Israel are also obligated to recognize the beauty of a horse. This is what the Yishalmi says. Sus noeh. One might think a Jew should recognize the beauty of a horse. That shows how far the Jew is from the emes, if he says like that. It's also obligated to recognize the beauty of the horse, or the beauty of the dog, or the beauty of the donkey. Chamor noeh. But he must recognize not only the beauty of the donkey, but who made the beauty of the donkey. Could a man make a donkey? Could a man make a horse with all of the brilliant minds of all of the countries involved in the space projects? They couldn't make one ant. When he sees an animal, he must recognize the beauty of the animal and the master. This was Avraham Avinu. The Gemara asks on Avraham Avinu, who taught him about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Who told him about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He had no teacher. Ein lei malamid. So who taught him? So the Gemara says, Yistakel bebiro, v'hiker es bal habiro. He gazed into the palace, and from his great determination and his great brilliance, from studying the palace, he recognized who made the palace. From studying every facet of creation, he recognized who was the creator. And he came to Kol HaTeira Kula through this. We must recognize the beauty, but at the same time then recognize who made the beauty. And when we recognize who made the beauty, then we're obligated to make a brocha. Boruch Shekochalei Be'elomei. Blessed is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created this. And this goes on all beauty of the world. And therefore, when the Tanoim would see something of great beauty, when they saw the beauty of Rabbi Yochanan, he was so taken aback that this beauty would be lost to the world. He wept. They saw the beauty of a woman, they made a brocha. This is where beauty plays a role, physical beauty plays a role in the scope of Torah, in the scope of Avedis Hashem. Incidentally, the Chazal were very also exacting and demanding that a woman must take care of her beauty, in particular a married woman. The Gemara brings in Baba Kama at the end of Perek Merubah that when Ezra came to Eretz Yisrael, he inherited the land. So he made several takonos. He made certain decrees which he wanted to become part and parcel of Eretz Yisrael. So one decree he made was that there should be merchants always circulating through Eretz Yisrael, selling cosmetics for women. This was a decree that he made. Now, what does this mean legally? The Rambam brings, legally this means that a city had a right to practice a closed market. Every city, every community had a right to protect its interests, to practice a closed market. In other words, to allow their own merchants first to sell their merchandise in the market before allowing merchants from other places to come and sell. But if someone was selling cosmetics for women, then they weren't allowed to do that. This was the Takon of Ezra. Okay? That you could not keep these merchants out. Why did he do this? He said because in order that the wives of Klal Yisrael would always have within their reach takshiti, see, cosmetics, in order to continually beautify themselves. Now this was for an additional reason. He said, in order shalaitis gan al bailov, in order that their husbands will constantly see their beauty, and the love between the husband and wife will develop, and cholilo, he won't reject her. There's a similar Gemara. The Gemara brings in Masechta Tainus. They went to one of the great Tanoim, a very righteous person, when they wanted to ask him to pray for rain. So when they came to his home, they saw that his wife was ornamented very beautifully. So later they asked him why. It wasn't Shabbos, it wasn't Yom Tov. He says, this is something he always demands. He says, Shleyetein Einai, Bishacheres, in order that I will not be tempted from the beauty of other women. So he always demanded that his wife should be in the utmost beauty. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein in a tshuva, speaking about a certain subject that we don't have time to go into now, but he writes there, if this was by the Hasidim Gedalim, if this was by the righteous people of the world, so then how much more so is this relevant to us? So that's a further extension of this, of the, what we're speaking about. But at any rate, we see from this discussion that for someone to reject the physical beauty of the world and say that this is not important, what's important is ruchnius, spiritual pursuit. Physical aspect can be negated. It's not necessary. One should partake only from that which is the bare minimum. But beyond that, no. And it has no place in a person's life or in Avedis Hashem, in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to the contrary, to incorporate this in one's life, this is pursuing the aspirations of the Goyim, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, or others. And there have been strong schools of thought in this, and there are even today. This is false. Because the pursuit of beauty in this world, not only does it have a place in one's life. And not only does it have a place in Avedis Hashem, the serving of Hashem, but the Rambam writes, Bedafke it should be used in the serving of HaKadosh Baruch. And the Gemara tells us, Bedafke it should be used in mitzvahs. If you use or do a mitzvah that's kosher, but it's not beautiful, the mitzvah you fulfilled, but you have not fulfilled beyond Vehu, beautifying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it comes from the highest levels of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because this was all revealed to us when Klal Yisrael were on the Yam, on the sea, and they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's when they said, we must speak of His beauty, we must beautify His mitzvahs. And one of the greatest sources of physical beauty in the world was the Beis HaMikdash. Because the Beis HaMikdash was the physical domicile of the Almighty. Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says, and the Chazal tell us, He has a Beis HaMikdash Shel Malo. He has a Beis HaMikdash in heaven. But He wasn't satisfied with that. Also, Limishkon V'Shechanti B'Seichom, He wanted a Beis HaMikdash, a place to live in this world too. He wanted a physical place in the physical world. And this was the mitzvah of building the Mishkan. And therefore, to bring the master of all perfection into this world had to be with the ultimate of also, not only spiritual perfection, but physical perfection also. And therefore, when they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they said they want to bring Him in this world. The Anvehu, I will build a Noveh, I will build a home for Him. And therefore we find that in the building of the Beis HaMikdash and the building of the Mishkan, not only was it exacting in spiritual perfection, but it was the ultimate of exactness and perfection in the physical realm also. And all of the avoda, all of the serving of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash followed suit. This is a great principle for us to learn. And may we be successful in incorporating it in our lives and in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And may we be zeicher to see the great beauty and teferes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and of His Torah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.